higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change. One thing. Never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. God's people said, amen.
Praise the one who paid my debt
and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debts and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
I just want you. Father God, we pray. We pray for our lives, our families' lives, our work lives, our school lives, our children's lives. And we know that there is nothing else that will do, nothing else that will take your place. You're too great, you're too strong, you're too mighty, you're too powerful. You love us too much. There is nothing that can stand in your place. And that's where we put you, Father God. We put you at the top. We put you at the very, very peak, the pinnacle of our life. And we look there. We look there for strength and we look there for hope. And we say thank you. Thank you for hope. We trust you and we love you. All God's people said.
Well, good morning and welcome to Grace. Sorry to interrupt this wonderful time of visiting with one another. My name is Sheila Hooper and I'm grateful to be here with you on this sunny Sunday morning. What beautiful weather we've been having, and great for dandelion days or whatever you have going on this weekend. So I know I kept seeing on Facebook or different places, lots of baby shower, bridal showers. We had a bridal shower at our house yesterday. So anyway, it's lots of good happening right now. So if you're new here, we're so grateful to have you. If you haven't, or if you've been coming for the last couple of weeks or month, we would love to connect with you. If you haven't filled out a connect card, then you will find one somewhere in a chair in front of you. And we would love to have you fill that out and just drop it off in the back when you leave here. But welcome to everyone. Good to see you all this morning. We have, right after church today, we have a special meeting. Just right after church, it will be short and just stay for a few minutes for members to vote on elder candidate Mark Criswell, so that I know there was voting happening coming in, but stay after church for that. Coming up on Saturday, March 28th from 9 to noon, we have a work day here at the church, and we need all hands on deck. So there's lots of different levels of work. So if you're wondering if you can do the work, absolutely you can. We can find something for you. And we're trying to get things done inside and out and spruce things up before Easter. So if you can help, again, that is March 28th from 9 to noon. And any age people are welcome here. So any age and any ability. So thank you for coming next week for that. CAC sign-up, so Creative Arts Camp. So if you're not familiar with that, we do a big outreach every summer here at Grace. This whole room is transformed. It's amazing. It's wonderful. So if you haven't been a part of it before, we would love for you to join us on that. If you're planning to volunteer for Creative Arts Camp, if you have kids you want to attend, please sign up for volunteer right away, because registration for your kids begin April 8th, so that's when it will open for everyone. So if you want to volunteer and you want your kids to be involved, we need that before that. You'll receive a link to register early, only if you volunteer early, so please do that. Registration for all age kids open. Oh, I'm sorry. On April 25th is when it opens for all kids. So, but we need your kids, if you're volunteering, will be April 8th when it opens. And we need to know how quickly these, and you know how quickly these spots fill up. Usually on the day we open up, Creative Arts Camp fills up. So it's fills up pretty fast. So, and we need more volunteers, whether you have kids attending or not. So if you want to sign up in Children's Ministry cart in the lobby, there's a place out there, or you can go on the church app. But again, a wonderful time to serve. We have all different roles, and it's such a neat time to be here. I'm just serving along with our church, but also with the call. They join us and lots of other volunteers from other churches, too. So as always, take a look in your bulletin. There's more information, and I'd like to invite Jeremy Chadwick up.
Well, good morning, church. Great to see you all here this morning. You know, I still have two of my sons living at home, and a couple weeks ago, one of my sons, just on his own accord, decided to just weed whack our whole back hill plus a couple other patches in the front of the house without being asked, and I was just like, wow, that was so helpful, and I appreciated it so much. And our other son, routinely after dinner, will clean up the whole kitchen, and every trash period during the week, he gathers all the trash and takes it out to the road without being asked. And I was just thinking about that and how honoring I feel that is to me as a head of household and how honoring it is to our family. And I was thinking about here as a church, you know, we are all, through faith in Jesus, children of God. And we are part of this household. And this is our house that we gather together in. And when we choose to give of our finances, our time, our energy, we too are honoring not only one another, but we're honoring Jesus Christ as the head of our household. And so I just want to thank all of you who give so much to this church, because you are honoring your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're honoring Christ himself. So we thank you, and as always, you don't have the three ways to give up top. I did not memorize them very well. But you've seen them before. There's probably in the bulletin. We appreciate all that you give to this body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much, God. You know, you have given us more than we could ever give in return, Lord. And Lord, we don't have to earn anything. It is purely a gift from you that we have forgiveness of our sin and right standing before you. You have clothed us with your perfect righteousness. And through faith in you, Lord, we collectively become the body of Christ. This becomes our family where we meet. And Lord, I thank you for each person here who calls Grace home. And Lord, I just thank you for all that everyone gives as part of this body in helping take care of this body and how it honors you, Lord. So we thank you for your faithfulness to us and your love for us. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Well, this morning you have probably seen several young men in uniform, and that's because we as Grace Fellowship host, sponsor a scout troop, Scout 2020, here at Grace, and it's been for a lot of years. I don't even know the number, but it's been a lot of them, and we've been the happy recipient of several Eagle Scout projects, the shade structure on our back play area, the running power and water up to the cross area. And if you come to our sunrise service in a couple of weeks for Easter morning, you will see the most recent Eagle Scout project that is the new fire ring up there. That looks absolutely beautiful. And so each year, as a part of the scouting curriculum, if you will, is to, and part of the goal of scouting is to expose young people to worship, to God. And what is that like? I've never been to church before. What is that like? And so one Sunday a year, we set aside to invite the scout group here and just say, hey, this is what it's like to worship God. And we invite them also to participate in sharing with us their flag ceremony as well. So I'm going to invite them to do that at this time. Welcome.
Audience, please rise. Troop and color guard to attention. Color guard, forward march. Color guard, halt. Prepare to post the colors. Post the colors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Two. Please join me in the Scout Oath and Law. Oath. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Law. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Two. Color guard, reform ranks. Color guard, forward march. Color guard, halt. About face, church and color guard ease.
So excited to see these young men perform for you guys. My name is Ben Calaccia. I am the newest scoutmaster for Troop 2020 here in Jackson. I'm so thankful for Pastor Mark and Grace that we are allowed to have our organization here and to be a charter organization. I run the Troop 2020, which is 11 to 17, 18-year-olds, and PAC 78, which is the Cub Scouts, which is elementary age scouts. So scouting, for those of you who don't know, has been around since 1910 and has taught outdoor ethics, citizenship, and how to be a good human for over a century. Our program focuses on character development, personal growth and fitness, and camaraderie. We have over 20 scouts in our troop and six in the pack. We are a scout-led troop, so as you just saw, they run. I'm just an advisor. All of the scouts lead at some level, from the oldest, the senior patrol leader, who is Jaden here up on stage, all the way down to our newest scouts. I'd also like to thank and congratulate Caden Cavelli, our newest Eagle Scout. So awesome work. For those of you at Sunrise Service, you'll get to see his work up on the hill. Leadership, communication, and teamwork enable scouts to achieve their goals they have set and helps build a bond with these boys. If you ever hiked a mountain with a 45-pound pack in summer, you know the physical and mental challenge that it takes. Once they reach camp, it's really excited to see the sense of pride that they have and the accomplishment. It's great to see. We give back to our community in many ways with Amador County Food Bank, collecting food and participating in Operation Christmas Child here at Grace. Many community service hours and Eagle projects like the fire pit, and you'll see our scouts working hard next weekend for our annual church cleanup. I'm so proud to be a part of fostering the youth and able to spend time with them in the outdoors. If your child would like to become a part of the scouting program or the troop or PAC, please see me after, and then we also have a bake sale in the back. They'll be selling baked goods to raise money to go towards camp. So thank you all for the Scout families here at Grace for their time and commitment to the program, and for Pastor Mark for all that you do. Special thanks to Charlie Throssell and Mike Stromberg for the endless hours given to the Scout program. over the many years. While still active in the troop, they will both leave big shoes to fill. So thank you all.
I'd like to invite the worship team to come back on up and invite you to stand one more time. We're so thankful and honored and proud to be part of young people and their life, and introducing them to the Father and how good he really truly is. Thank you, church, for sponsoring the Scouts. People said, please stay standing for the reading of the word. I'd like to invite Mr. Andy De Herrera to come up and deliver the reading this morning.
Good morning, Grace. I'll have to get close to this amp there. Yes, this morning, we'll be reading the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 12 to 14. And, you know, as Bruce and I are preparing to go to the missions here this next week and working with the various people there, this came to heart for me. Begins on verse 12. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Thank you. You can be seated.
Well, good morning once again. A little thrown off a little bit this weekend because, you know, it's Dandelion Days weekend. And, you know, if you've grown up in Amador County as I have, you know that, you know, if you're praying for rain, you know, well, at least we're going to get rain Dandelion Days weekend because it rains more often than not. So this weekend being so beautiful is throwing me a little bit. I had, I was asked to remind, if you are in junior high or high school, you're also dismissed at this time because, and to meet in Barrett Hall, which is right over to your left, because we're doing our Youth Out Sunday. We have a special discussion and discipleship time for you guys in there, so you're welcome to be a part of that. And we won't talk about you much while you're gone. I had a great opportunity yesterday. We had a number of things going on this weekend, which made for a very full weekend. But I had this little window that I wanted to go because someone I knew that some of you may also know, Noah Throssell, he was running a trail race, his first 50K, so 31 miles. And so he had asked me, hey, would you come be there for the finish line? And so it worked out where I was able to surprise him a little bit. I figured out where he was on the course, and I knew the trails that he was running over in Auburn area. And so I hiked in to a spot where I knew he was going to pass late in the race and probably going to feel the pain of that moment. And I'm going to be there. Hey, I'll run with you for a mile or so. Well, I ended up running with him the entire end of the race. And I was not in running clothes, by the way. So those shoes are out in the garage right now. They're covered with mud and all that stuff. But it was so worth it to walk with him and run with him those final miles for that great accomplishment. So I love that, how it's such a metaphorical analogy of how we help one another and bear one another's burdens as we move along in this life. I could not run Noah's race for him. That was his to bear. But I could run alongside him and help him. And that's what we're called to do as brothers and sisters, because we all need help. We're not designed to do this race on our own. We need each other. That's why we gather in these places. That's why we tell stories that help encourage one another. That's why we speak into one another's lives and listen to the heart of one another. So I love that about our worship gatherings, our community that we share. So as we jump forward in our text here, we're talking about things that are hard when you're a part of a family community. This is a community we call one another brothers and sisters. And one of the things we believe about maturity in the church is that it isn't just spiritual maturity that we're talking about. You can't call somebody spiritually mature while they continue to be emotionally immature. We believe both are required. We believe that the Bible, God himself, is calling us to deep, not just knowledge about himself, not just knowledge about the scriptures, but the scriptures actually transform us in a way that we can love one another as God loved us. That requires us to develop emotional maturity as well as spiritual maturity. So this series really that we've been tackling has that as its goal. How is God growing us in our capacities to love one another, especially when loving each other takes a little extra work, right? That we all have rough edges that we bump into each other. And when I get bumped into, sometimes stuff spills out of me that I'm not very proud of. And it's God's way of giving me attention to, hey, there's parts of my heart that I need to attend to. There's parts of my heart that need to grow. And so I'm asking the person that I bumped into or bumped into me, and I kind of spilled out on them a little bit, hey, be patient with me. Could you forgive me? I take responsibility for those actions, and I want to continue in love together as we move in this household and work together and so on, right? So it takes us to grow in our capacity to love and to mature as God does his work in our hearts. So having conflict is a part of our experience. And I would say this about, we've already done part one 2 weeks ago. Dennis Barrett gave such a great message. We're going to reference that, I think, a little bit this morning about vertical honesty, being honest in our confession before God, but also honest in how we reach out to one another for help and to share our burdens with regard to our own confession of things that we're struggling with. Horizontal honesty as well. What a great message. And I don't think Dennis is here today. Is he here? I think he's recovering. He hasn't, he'd had, I have to, I'll just give you this information because we pray for Dennis and so on. He had to have another toe amputated this week. He didn't realize that until he went to the doctor. And so be praying for him. This has been such a potentially discouraging journey, as you can imagine, if you put yourself into his shoes, quite literally, I suppose. And he is dealing with it like a champ. I'll just say that. He inspires me. So we just want to continue to pray for Dennis and Lynn through this kind of process. So before we move any further in our message, let's just stop and pray. Would you join me? Father, we thank you that you are present here in very real ways. God, you are able to speak to us through your word, the Bible, through your Holy Spirit, if we have a relationship with you. And so, God, we invite you to communicate in deep ways to the parts of our hearts, maybe that are a little unknown to us or confusing. God, speak truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this series, this is part two today, Unity and Conflict. How do we maintain unity while understanding that there's a certain level of conflict that just happens, right? And then there's going to be a part three after Palm Sunday, after Easter Sunday. We're going to have special themed messages for those days. But after that, we'll pick up part three. So here's something we have to understand. When you're around any group of people in a family household and no less the church of God, as perfect as we all are, conflict is unavoidable. Conflict is unavoidable. So if you're like me, I am conflict avoidant. Anybody join me in that? Conflict avoidant. There's nothing wrong, you know, no shame in admitting that. It just means that we have a wiring within us that we learned at some point in our life to kind of navigate the hard things of life, right? So it serves us. It served us, especially as young people. But as we get older, we understand that it serves us less. And so when we start embracing ideas like this, that conflict is unavoidable, okay, so how do I do that? It's not possible for me to avoid all conflict. I have to learn and grow. So the goal then is not elimination of conflict. If conflict is unavoidable, the goal is not elimination, but navigation. Right? How we navigate conflict. Sometimes I feel like I've worked so hard just to eliminate conflict altogether. And what I mean by eliminating conflict, it's not just the conflict between me and you or some other person, right? It's really, if I'm honest, I wanted the elimination of all this stuff that happens in here when I experience conflict. I don't like those feelings. I don't feel good during that time. So because I don't like how that feels, my solution is to try to eliminate conflict. And now, as an adult, I understand I can't do it. I can't eliminate conflict. So what do? I have to navigate what's going on in here. I have to increase my capacity to understand what's happening in my own heart and allow God to come in and heal those areas, make whole those fractured places in me, right? So this is what I think Paul is after in this passage that Andy had read. And we're going to be continuing to study this morning. So we're going to come back to this at the very end, but this is so important. I want to call it a special vision. Let's say this together, because this is going to be a mantra for this whole series, right? Let's say it with me. Conflict is unavoidable. So the goal is not elimination, but navigation. Navigating things. We didn't do that very good. So let's try it again. One more time. And again, conflict is unavoidable. The goal is not elimination, but navigation, right? Okay, so that's what we're learning. We are learning and practicing navigating conflict in a healthy, good, loving, godly way because it's unavoidable. We're going to experience it. So the topic of today is navigating conflict. We'll see it in our passage here. So this is how Paul says it. Bear with each other and forgive one another. How do we navigate conflict in a healthy way? We bear with one another. We forgive one another. We love one another. Forgive as God forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So conflict comes at us from all different areas, and there's all kinds of ways that we experience conflict, right? So it could be just the words or actions that negatively disrupt you or the community. You know, what I mean by community is like us as a church family or the household or your work environment or just driving along. You know, we're all together as a community and someone disrupts that process. Someone cuts in on you, pulls out on you, right? Is disrupting the flow of things either in your household, in the church, in the workspace, whatever. Those words or actions, it's like, whoa, what's going on? I have to change how I navigate things because you entered the picture and it kind of threw me off a little bit. That's kind of like low-level conflict. Number two, you have words or actions that trigger painful emotions. Now, those are a little bit deeper, right? It's like, ooh, that hurt. What you said, how you responded to that, how you treated me. I felt a little devalued there. I didn't feel heard, you know. You misunderstood what I said. You know, whatever it is, I'll say, ugh, that doesn't feel good. Another kind of conflict. You have simple viewpoints and preferences that are different than one another. We recognize this truth. But really when this comes into play is when we're kind of packed into the same space, in a same household, a marriage, a work environment, where we have, okay, we have a goal to accomplish, but we see it differently how we ought to go about accomplishing that goal. Or what we ought to have for dinner. Like, well, I like this, you like that. I was like, how do we navigate this conflict? And sometimes that gets a little emotionally charged depending on how we tend to work together. There's always, you know, we're all kind of heading that one direction, but there's always that one naysayer in the group, like, well, I don't like that. I think we should do this. Okay, we've talked through this. This is how we all agreed as a group. Yes, but I still think we ought to do this. You know, like they're, you know, digging their heels in a little bit. It's conflict that happens in a variety of ways. And of course, even on the deepest level, our own core values, what we really believe about the world, how it functions, how we navigate in it. We can be working alongside, living alongside, married to, worshiping together with someone who has deeply different core values than me. But they love Jesus, right? We're talking about not just normal everything out there. We're talking about the faith community, right? Where we both love Jesus, but we think really differently about some social issue in the world. We think we're going to respond to it differently. We think the solution could be two different things. How do we navigate that when it presents those deep core values that you hold deeply, but you both love Jesus? How do we maintain unity in that? So that's what we're talking about. That's why it's so important, right? Because we deal with all of these things. Not only is there a variety of conflicts, and there's probably a whole lot more, right? I just kept some general categories. But we recognize also there's deep levels. There's different levels of conflict, right? So level one might be just something that kind of is annoying or frustrating or inconvenient. Someone just bumps into you, cuts in the lane or whatever. It's like, oh, wow, that kind of disrupted me. But you know what? It's okay. We're moving on. I have the capacity for that. We're just going to move on, right? It's something I'll forget about in an hour or a minute. It depends on the inconvenience or whatever. But then you move into level two and you start feeling that more deep, like, ouch, that actually hurt. What you said or what you did really affects me. That was offensive to me. That felt kind of harmful a little bit. And now it's not just a minute later, hour later, it could be days later, and I'm still thinking about it. It's a little bit deeper level that has occurred and struck at us. How do we navigate it when it's a little bit deeper? And then, of course, we move into level three. And by the way, these levels are arbitrary. I'm making that up. But we understand what I mean by it, right? There's some things that just hit deeper. And you get to this deeper level where you're talking about like harm, betrayal, abuse. These are deeply wounding parts of conflict that, unfortunately, if you've lived life for any length of time, you may have experienced one or all of those level three things in a deep way. And maybe even to this day, you're not sure still how to navigate it. This is like marriage ending stuff. Deep friendships that have been divided over this stuff. Family members that maybe you were childhood besties, but now you're miles apart. Your parents are separated from their children. Siblings are separated from one another. Deep, difficult, painful things. How do we navigate that? So let me just say this. This level three is it's almost like its own category. I want to acknowledge that this morning. So I think the principles we're going to be talking about in this series really are focused on level one, level two kind of stuff. Because level three, is you can't cover in a sermon, right? I can't cover it from up here, right? This requires bringing in someone outside of you who has been trained in navigating this to help you walk through the nuances of your own situation, the own circumstances of it, how you are navigating it, and they're helpful to that, right? It requires probably some intervention in some levels, and it certainly requires some clearly defined boundaries to stop that harm from reoccurring. You want to be able to get yourself out of that situation and establish some really clear, safe boundaries so that you're not going to be continually harmed, right? So this is level three stuff, and that is, if you're experiencing that, I want to know that these principles also apply that we're going to talk about. However, it's a much more nuanced conversation that takes over a period of time, really, to address in very deep ways. So we're going to primarily be focusing on level one, level two stuff. This is the stuff we run into every single day, every year. If we've gotten days or weeks without a level two, it's going to hit us at some point. How do we never, this is the realm of a Sunday morning message, right? So we're gonna focus there primarily, although these principles apply. They don't stop applying, okay? They just need more counsel and thought as we think about their application with level three. So let's move forward. So what do I do? What are the things, what are the tools that God gives me when I've been offended, I've been hurt, I'm experiencing this stuff? How do I navigate this? And so this passage in particular that Andy read this morning gives us three overarching principles that we're going to use as we move forward. We get down into the details of how to have that hard conversation, how to receive that hard conversation when we've rubbed each other the wrong way, we've done things that we need to be accountable for, and so on, all that stuff. We're going to get to that by part three. But these three principles that Paul, and in fact God himself, has given us are going to help us navigate where are we headed. How, where are we going to go? What's the goal here? And there are three things. Number one is that we are called to bear with one another. Bear with one another. We're going to talk about what that means, what I think Paul is saying by this. Number two, that we are to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven me. That means this level of forgiveness, there is nothing off the table because God has forgiven me to the point of expending his own son's life. Jesus says, I'm providing forgiveness at not just, because it's inconvenient for me, but I'm actually shedding my life, right? So this is big stuff. Nothing is off the table. Forgiveness. And number three, loving one another. What does that look like when we bump into each other in ways that just irritate us, That's the most part, right? We normally just do the conflict avoidant path, like I just won't hang out with them very much because I don't like them, right? They have rough edges that are going to rub me the wrong way, so I'm just going to play over here while they play over there. But as a family of God, we can do better. We can do better than that. And as things get deeper, we're required to learn some deep navigational skills to do this in a healthy way, not an emotionally immature way. So let's tackle this first one. Bear with one another. Let's look at this passage again. It was read for us earlier. Bear with each other if any of you has a grievance against someone. So the grievance is taken for granted, right? So you're going to have a complaint. The ESV that Andy read has, if anybody has a complaint, right? So somebody did something, said something that like, ooh, ouch, that hurts. I don't like that. Please don't continue to do that. That's the complaint. That is the grievance, right? So if you have that, this is how you navigate. Number one, you bear with each other. What does that mean? What are we talking about when we're bearing with one another? It is simply this. It is the commitment to continue forward while acknowledging both the good and the bad that exists in everyone. There are good things in me, and I hope you see a bunch of those, but there are also bad things in me that spill out once in a while. The commitment to bear with one another is when those kind of unfavorable things spill out on one another as we bump each other because we have rough edges and so on, that we're committed in love to bear with one another to move forward. We're not just going to be offended and like, all right, I'm just going to take my ball and go play in the playground over there. I don't like you anymore. I'm just going to move away. I'm going to change churches, change jobs, change marriages, whatever it is, right? No, as a Christian, we are saying to have to honor the love of God that's been expended on our behalf and God himself coming to dwell in us, we are committing to move forward together while recognizing both that there's good and bad in all of us, and we're going to rub up against each other in painful ways sometimes, but we're committed to one another. So what does this look like? It could be as simple as this. This idea of rupture and repair. You may have heard these terms. They're commonly used to describe a relationship that was peaceful and whole and great. All of a sudden, pow, a rupture takes place. You know, something happens, a gesture, a word, an action. All of a sudden, whoa, hey, there's separation now because I don't like how that felt. And I have some words to tell you about what I think about that, right? And so there's been this rupture. And so we're going to acknowledge, because conflict is unavoidable, the goal is not elimination, but navigation, right? So we're going to, okay, there's been a rupture. We're going to acknowledge that that's just normal. That's a part of a bunch of different people with good and bad all dwelling together, moving in the same common direction. I'm committed to repair. I'm going to move forward with repair. So if I'm the one who said something or spilled out in a way, I have to take responsibility for what I said, what I did. You know, someone I've experienced the hurt and the pain of something that's gone on, I have to be committed toward repair. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to forgive this person, right? I'm going to move forward. I'm committed to doing this together. That's all what bear with one another means. It's the commitment to move forward even though we have rough edges, even though we're going to say and do things that sometimes are painful with one another. It's a commitment. And we do this as many times as is needed. We do it over and over. If I experience a rupture in a relationship 10 times, I repair. You think about Peter saying, well, how many times do I forgive someone, right? Is it just, you know, 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times. 7. Wow, that is a tall order, right? So we're committing to recognizing that rupture takes place. I'm committed to bear with you. I'm going to move toward repair. And however long that takes, sometimes that takes a minute. Sometimes it doesn't even involve a conversation. You said or did something that hurt. I'm like, poof. You know what? I have capacity for that. No big deal. I'm pretty sure they didn't mean it that way. I'm just going to move forward, right? Not in a conflict avoidant way, but in a way that's like, it's no big deal. I got this. I have capacity for that too, having taken maybe a day or two to say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And sometimes it takes weeks. And, you know, level three takes years to do this process, okay? It's a commitment that we're going to bear with one another, sometimes taking years, but hopefully most of the time, minutes, days, months maybe, okay? So, we'd lead us to the second one. We're going a little bit deeper here. Bear, you get the concept. We're committed. We're doing this. I'm not going to just change churches because I don't like what Pastor Mark said. I'm going to, you know, I'm committed to this thing, right? We love each other. Oh, don't like all aspects, but that's okay. We're all different, right? So I'm going to commit to forgive. So how do we do that? How do we do that? What do we mean by that? So it's in this passage, right? Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. What did God forgive us? Think about who God is. Perfection. Holiness. Who has spoken all things into existence. And he has the capacity not only to forgive me of my sins that separate me from him, but he has the capacity to love me in such a way to actually pay the penalty for me. Now, I can't pay the penalty for your sin, but I can recognize that there has been a debt that has occurred. You have made a withdrawal from my heart. If you have said or did something that has disrupted my life in some way, sometimes they're little tiny withdrawals. Sometimes they're like, hey, that was quite a bit of my savings that just went away. That really hurt, right? So how do I navigate that debt that has just been incurred when we've experienced that disruption? So what is forgiveness? What are we talking about here? What is our responsibility? What is God calling us to? So here's a sentence that I think is, or a couple sentences that I think are helpful along these lines. Forgiveness is a way for the offended party to release the emotional debt and resentment toward an offender so that one can move forward and not feel stuck. Have you ever felt stuck when someone has done something that has been unkind or really kind of lodged a little bit deeper? And you're like, why is that still there? Days later, I'm still dealing with this feeling. You're not alone. That's not abnormal, right? Some things land a little deeper. If you're there, forgiveness is God's way, God's tools, and he's already demonstrated for us how to do it, right? He says, this is your way of releasing that debt so that you can move forward and begin to heal. That you can get unstuck and you release that debt so that you can become whole again. That rupture has fractured us, and forgiveness allows us to say, hey, that hurt. So let me finish the last sentence. It acknowledges, because this is an important part, it acknowledges the significance of the hurt. That's important. Sometimes we say forgiveness, oh, you know what? It's okay. It's okay what happened. Well, it's not okay. That's not okay. No, not even the little stuff is okay. We want to, Paul and God through his word has said over and over and over to kind of push back and resist every form of evil. Every part of our old way of doing things, resist it and embrace the new way of love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control against such things. There's no law, right? We're active in this. No part of it is okay. So when we're saying we forgive, if we're calling, kind of moving into this area of forgiveness, we are first acknowledging that what you did or said was not okay. That was not okay by me. It is significant, right? We recognize the significance of the impact, and then we release it so we can become whole again, that we can heal. That's the whole purpose of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something that we need the other person even to participate in. That's called reconciliation. Forgiveness happens first, release them of the emotional debt, then I move toward, if they're taking responsibility, they have part in it as well, there are things that they need to do, and then we move toward reconciliation. That's the whole process of bearing with one another begins with forgiveness. How do I release this emotional debt? How do I do that? This is hard. I'm feeling it. It's been days, months, years in some cases. How do I release this debt? Let me give you a couple helpful things. Number one, we first have to own what we're feeling. Own that we feel anger. Own that we feel hurt. Own the significance of the impact. Own the resentment that is taking up residence in our heart. And what I mean by own it is that we take responsibility for it. Maybe somebody else's words or actions triggered that in me, but now that it's in me, it's mine. This is my property. I am the one responsible for it. I am the one who has the responsibility to do the work necessary to make sure that I can bring healing and wholeness to this thing that's been disrupted in me. That other person, it's not their responsibility to heal my heart. Even if they were the one who said or did that thing, not their responsibility. It is my responsibility to bring Jesus in to heal this part. Because frankly, sometimes that other person has no clue that they did or said something that landed in that way. And if they do have a clue, maybe they don't take any responsibility. Maybe think they were completely justified in what they said or did. Maybe they meant to harm as a way of manipulating or whatever it is. So that other piece of the puzzle, the other person, it can be tricky. And we're going to talk about that in the part three in particular. But as it relates to forgiveness, that's something I can do apart from that person because it starts with me owning how I feel. I recognize I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm have resentment. I have hurt. I've been offended. Own it. Own it. Recognize what it is. Name it. Name these things we're feeling. It's important. Then we can identify, you know, how to deal with it, right? So we own it first. It's my responsibility. So what do I do next then? This is something I'll remind from part one, right? Next, we take it to Jesus. Own it. This is mine. What do I do with it now? I take it to Jesus. Because Jesus knows what it feels like. Jesus, who purchased our redemption with his own blood, knows what it feels like to be betrayed, to be hurt, to be devalued, to be physically attacked, to be one who suffered an unjust execution ultimately. Jesus was tempted, according to Hebrews, in every single way that we were, that is common to man. He knows what you feel like. So step one, take it to Jesus. Jesus, I am hurting. I am feeling this. I'm confused by it, actually. I'm not really sure where to go with this. Lord, I invite you into this place. Number one, run to Jesus. When you think about having the capacity to forgive, you might feel like, I don't have that capacity. I can't do it. That's why we run to Jesus. Jesus has the capacity. Jesus, if you have placed your faith in him, has come to dwell in you. And he gives you a capacity to do things because his own character is being formed in you if you let him. So bring it to Jesus. He understands, and he will navigate with you. He will walk with you a path of releasing this debt that has been incurred so that you can experience wholeness. You can heal. That every day you wake up, you don't have to think about that thing. It's gone. Don't think about it anymore. Maybe the relationship isn't reconciled yet, but at least you're free. Like, oh, I don't have to think about that anymore. I don't have to bear what that feels like anymore. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for helping me to understand and help me to release. That's all forgiveness is. That's what we're called. This is what Paul is saying, forgive them their grievance just as God has forgiven you, releasing emotional debt. That's what we're saying. In addition to taking it to Jesus, we should take it to one another. Take it to a trusted, mature friend who is going to empathize, validate, hey, that was serious what happened. Oh, that's anybody in your shoes, oh, they would be feeling the same thing. We need sometimes that validation, but they also have the capacity to move us. Hey, how are you working this out, releasing this debt? How are you doing that? Can I help you with that? Can I walk with you? Again, it's your work. Just like I ran with Noah, it was his race. I couldn't run it for him, but I could run with him. So sometimes inviting that mature friend to share the burden with us is exactly what we need to help us move forward in our ability to release that debt and to forgive. Invite somebody else who will walk with us in that process. And if you're someone who's been invited into that process, don't freak out. You don't have to have a solution. You don't have to have, we want to solve the problem, right? It's okay just to be a listener and to ask good questions, to say, that must be hard. Can I walk with you in this? Can I help you process that? I'm feeling that with you a little bit. You know, we can maybe identify, right? And then as God moves us forward, we can perhaps steer that in a way that's good and healthy and godly, right? So invite other people. This is, comes back to Dennis's message. We got to be honest before God, but the next step of intimacy is like, okay, I'm going to be honest before other people. I need help. I can't do this alone. This is what Paul's saying. Forgive each other. It's okay. Invite God in. Ask other people for help as well. And finally, the last thing is give it time. The deeper the offense, the longer time it needs. If you are committed to move forward, right? Bear with one another. We are moving forward, acknowledging both the good and the bad in each person, and acknowledging there's good and bad in me. And we're committed to do this path forward. All right, I've been offended. Now I need some time. I'm on that path. It's taking me a minute, okay? I need to process this. Sometimes the little offenses we can deal with without even having a conversation with anybody. But sometimes the deeper they hit, and sometimes I'm telling you that sometimes interactions strike in wounds in us that have nothing to do with the person who triggered that feeling. They have to do with unattended to wounds of our past, of other experiences. Maybe we've experienced loss or betrayal in the past. And this person just touches that, they poke that wound in an unintentional way. And it really wells up deep emotions in us. Recognize our emotions are ours. They might have poked them, but I have to deal with that, right? How do I navigate this in a way? And sometimes that just takes time as we commit to move forward. And grace. Grace meaning, don't think you're going to get it. There's something wrong with you if you don't do this in a day. There's that scripture we love to quote. Do not let the sun set, what? On your anger, right? Don't go to bed angry. And that's, I think that's a great principle, but we miss the point because we tend to take that so literally. It means don't mess around. Don't linger and allow that kind of stuff to fester. Commit to moving forward. But sometimes those offenses aren't going to be resolved by sundown. Right? It takes, maybe you've initiated the process. Hey, I'm committed to you. This really is, I'm hurt. I'm processing this stuff. I'll get there. I'm just not there right now. Can you be patient with me if you're in a conversation with someone about it? It's okay. As long as you're moving forward, the deeper the pain, the deeper the wound, maybe it's the longer the process. So give yourself grace. You're not being un-Christian. You're not being, resistant. And certainly, and we like to tell each other if they're not. I had this, let me just say, we're going to wrap up here in a second. I was feeling a deep betrayal. I had a level 3 betrayal. I can tell you, it's happened to me 3 times in my life. Once when I was 19, once when I was 30, and once when I was 48. 3 different people, 3 different circumstances, deeply wounding things. One of those circumstances, I was like, it was days after this had happened. And I am just processing my heart and these deep, angry, using words that are just like, it doesn't sound very Christian what I felt about this person. And the person, well-meaning, that I was talking to was supposedly a mature Christian. They had a doctorate in biblical studies. They just wrote their dissertation, by the way, on forgiveness. And so they said, well, let me help you with that. You obviously are not giving this to God. You know, it's like, it was 2 days ago. You know, come on, cut me some slack. This was deeply level 3 trauma in my life. Well, Jesus was able to forgive from the cross. Look, I am not Jesus, okay? Jesus is being formed in me. But listen, grace. I need some grace. Can you just validate that what happened was intrinsically traumatic? But he could not come there with me. It was really offensive to me, actually. So recognize, if you're helping with someone, it's not helpful sometimes to just, again, try to solve the problem. but to get down in the valley with them for a time. It's okay to do that. You're not being unkind. You're actually being loving in doing that. It's okay. Some things take time and grace. Forgiveness. Allow that space. And finally, we move to loving one another. Look at what it says in our text. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Perfect unity. Peter says it this way: above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So we are committed to this path, bearing with one another. I am working on today, before the sun has even gone down, I'm already beginning the process of repair, and that starts with forgiveness. That may last a little while, but I've begun it. I'm not messing around. I want to tend to my heart and heal. But in the meantime, I'm going to act in a way that's loving. I'm still in proximity to this person. We're still on the same work environment or in the same household, the same church. I'm going to face that person, right? I can't just run the other way every single time. So in those moments, even though I'm kind of still processing, I'm going to treat you in a way, in a manner that's loving. I'm going to be kind. He's already given us that information. We just look earlier in the verse of the passage we've read. Therefore, as God chosen people, holy, dearly loved, this is us collectively all together, chosen, loved, holy, let us act in toward one another in love, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Just act toward loving. A loving thing doesn't go to this person and the next person and the next person and the next person and say, did you know what so-and-so did and said? And ooh, you know, and gossip and this and spreading rumors and, you know, complaining and all those things. That is not helpful. That is not a part of bearing with one another, moving forward, acknowledging there's good and bad in all of us. Right? It's unloving. Let's be patient, compassionate, kind. Talk to just those people who are going to help you move forward with forgiveness and reconciliation, right? Acknowledge the depth of what's going on and act in an appropriate way. And if we think these words aren't foreign, right? We've read them in other places. This is what Paul says in Corinthians, the chapter on love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others in gossip and so on, right? It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. We're very patient. It's like, ooh, that was like you bumped into me. You spilled out. But you know what? I'm not going to react to that. I'm going to respond in love, right? Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't hold grudges. Not that we forget, right? We can't forget. However, we're not going to hold a grudge as a result. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love bears with one another. Right? We sang a song already. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never, what's it say again? It never goes away. Never surrender. Never. Anyway, it keeps going, right? Your love never fails and never gives up. Never gives up on me. The middle part I'm getting wrong. But anyway, you get it, right? We sing about it. We're talking about the love of God, but we have God in us to never give up. To persevere with one another, to bear with one another, with the very healthy reality-based knowledge that conflict is unavoidable. So the goal is not elimination, but navigation. How are we navigating it? Now, last time, part one, I promised that today we were going to talk about all those helpful, practical, conversational things. I've kicked that down the road. We're going to do that in part three. But we had to understand this principle, right? What's the goal? To bear with one another. How do we do that? We're going to talk in real practical ways how to do that, okay? I'm hoping that today was helpful, because the goal is we're expanding our capacity, our character capacity, to love despite the fact we sometimes wound each other and say things to offend each other. We're not going to hold on to that and say stuff that we regret. Honestly, if I'm really honest, I had a relationship, or a conversation rather, this Monday that was so painful. It really had nothing to do with what we were talking about, but it touched on a wound in me that made me feel all these icky things. And rather than just being patient and kind and taking a beat to you know, reflect on what I said, would say from that point, I said some things that were just so unhelpful. I didn't say anything unkind, but they were unhelpful, and they certainly weren't loving. I was so frustrated. I had just studied that morning in my devotions how this whole stuff, you know, being patient and kind and forgiving, and like, here I did it. Oh, I ruptured a relationship. And it wasn't hours later that I moved toward this person to say, hey, I blew it. I said some things, did some things. I regret that. I apologize for that. Now, they said, you know what? I hear you. I need a little bit more time to process that. I can be patient with that, right? I understand that it takes some time and grace, right? And by the evening of that very night, when we had a chance to come back together and actually spend some time to talk through things, we didn't ultimately land completely on the same page, but we had done enough work to say, okay, we're committed to bearing with one another. We're going to navigate this with forgiveness and love. And whatever length of time it takes, we're going to do this thing. And so it's not about perfection, right? It's about, and it's certainly not about avoiding conflict, because it's just going to happen. How do we navigate it? When it's ruptured, we move toward repair. We go about the process. And as hard as it is for me to admit that I wished I didn't handle it in the way that I would have preferred, I am proud of the fact that I moved toward repair before the sun set, right? The repair wasn't complete at sunset, but I moved toward it. It's good. Good thing. So let's finish our service together. I'm going to invite Jonathan to come on up and the worship team. And as I reflect on this time, let this song, you know, be a response of our heart to say, at the very least, this is heavy stuff. God, I need you to help me. I'm working through stuff. Maybe some of us. I'm working through stuff right now. Oh, this hit a little close to home, today's message. I didn't even know what to do with this stuff. I need some time to process. That's why we're taking 3 whole weeks before we get to the next level, right? We're going to have Easter. But at least start the repair by acknowledging to God, I need you. Let's stand together as we sing this song.
to acknowledge a couple things. If you're doing something which is not just the level one, level two, level three stuff, I'm happy to. I want to hear that. I want to know how to pray for you. But in any way, I'd love to help and walk with you if you felt so open to talk about that. I'd love to pray with you. Just as a reminder, we are going to take a break here. We're going to reassemble for our membership to affirm Mark Criswell's on our board of elders. So feel free to go out and buy some baked goods from the Scouts, use the restroom, pick up your kids, and then we'll regather for those who are going to be attending our meeting afterward. Grace and peace to you.